We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
This is Steve Shoemaker, and I'm happy to be back in the WILL studios myself. We go from the contemporary jazz of the tenor saxophonist John Axon Ellis to a rather different program today. We had scheduled an interview with Andrew Marin, M-A-R-I-N. It was to be a phone interview from his office in Chicago. He's the author of the recent book, Love is an Orientation. It's a book about his ministry with gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered folks in Chicago. And he's written this book about his experiences. Marin is an evangelical Christian, and yet he, in this book and in his work with gays and lesbians, does not condemn them, does not call them sinners, but tries to be helpful to them in their lives where they are. So it's an interesting idea, and I was looking forward to the interview very much. But the weather affects everything, and today, because of the storms in the east, Andrew Marin was speaking in Washington, D.C. His planes were delayed, along with a lot of others. He was not able to get back to his office. He was not able to talk to us by phone from long distance in D.C. We can't do it from an airplane, and so sadly, we do not have him to interview today. However, we are going to talk about the same topic, and I'm going to throw the phone lines open early in the program and invite listeners who have thoughts about the relationship of, in this case, Christianity to people who are gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexual, to give us a call. We are going to have a little bit of other music on the show later on, and so I'd prepared it for when Marin was here, sort of as a counterfoil to his book. So we'll be hearing a little bit of that later. But basically, this is going to be an open line show. So I'm in the studio. I've recovered from my recent surgery enough that I can actually be here for the first time in several weeks. So I'm looking forward to it. This is about the third time, I think, in the 11-year history of Keeping the Faith, where at the very last minute, we were not able to have a guest, and we did not have a substitute who could slip in at the last minute. So let me give the phone numbers. And listeners, you are the program today. And as you know, we may have fewer listeners today with the Super Bowl coming on a little bit later during this program than usual. So my most faithful listeners, please do give us a call and we'll discuss this issue. So the numbers. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. And if you're listening long distance, 1-800-222-9455. So if you're listening perhaps even on the internet, if you'd like to give us a call, make a comment, ask a question, raise an issue, perhaps you have a suggestion for another topic for this show to cover or another guest to invite, do give us a call. Again, 1-800-222-WILL. If it's long distance, if it's a local Champaign-Urbana number, 333-9455. Again, my name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for this program. Let me take a moment to thank Don Nolan, who is an emeritus professor at Parkland College, where he taught philosophy and religion for many years. In fact, is still teaching some courses, even online, for filling in for me while I was having a knee surgery. I see we have several callers who find this topic of interest. Let's go to line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith. Yes, are you there? On line number one, yes. Are you there?
Yes.
Good. Go right ahead.
I have read the book, Love is an Orientation, and I wish that every person who cares about human life could read the book.
Caller, let me suggest you turn your radio down because we do have a delay on these programs. And if you just listen on the telephone, then we'll hear you more clearly. So you have read the book, Love is an Orientation.
And I find it very, very interesting. He thinks that everybody should welcome young people, whatever their sexual orientation is, and let them be honest about themselves and have equal privileges and opportunities in our society. There's a great closeted world of young people and older people who hide their real identity because of the way we've taught about this subject. In my experience, when our son was in college, he came home and we learned sort of incidentally that he was a closeted gay. He was a loving, brilliant, loyal son. Nothing that we knew could have had us have a better child and a growing young man than he was. But he protected himself, apparently, and tried to avoid public shame for us by hiding his gay life. And that hidden world where he lived led to his death from AIDS at age 46.
Could I ask how long ago this was that he felt he had to keep his sexual orientation completely secret because of the discrimination and...
It's a dozen, 15 years now, perhaps. But it's a tragic reality in our society. And that's one question. And I had another question I wanted to throw into the hopper, and we can deal with you can deal with them at both.
Sure.
I held conferences before each wedding that I conducted through the years, somewhat short of 300 weddings.
You're a pastor.
I'm a pastor, and no couple in that orientation conference ever mentioned orientation toward same-sex intimacy. They would talk about authority and money and many other subjects, but they never dealt with this. I only recall one couple who've successfully bridged the gap between gay and straight orientation, and a half a dozen marriages ended in very painful divorces.
Of course, there may have been some that you never learned about where one or both of the people were also attracted to people of the same gender, but still managed to have a good marriage.
I've just seen in both in the field of marriage and in our personal life as a family the urgent importance of young people being able to be who they are and to be upright and honored citizens for the good work they do.
And do you think that pastors perhaps should bring up that subject in premarital counseling, pre-Cana counseling sessions?
After I learned from this book about the approach to people that's a welcoming approach to human beings who are created differently than the majority, I was just sure that I would be inclined to inquire if there is any sexual orientation difference between the two of them and encourage them to face that clearly if they are proceeding toward marriage.
In terms of what you shared about your son and his tragic death, did you feel that if he had been able to be in a culture where people were more open and accepting, that he wouldn't have had to keep that secret?
I had the feeling that he was hiding himself, protecting himself by his secrecy, and we could never talk about the subject with him, but he had a number of friends who were unknown to us, except that we knew there was someone in this distant city and somebody else somewhere else, and these were a part of the world that he could never talk about.
Well, thank you for raising those two issues, and we have other callers waiting, and they may comment on those, and if you'd like to call back later in the program, feel free.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to line number two. Did you want to comment on what our first speaker said, or would you have an issue of your own? Line number two.
My name's Christine Ewing, and I'm a Presbyterian. One of the things that I'm really concerned about is that a lot of people who are not familiar with Christians feel that all Christians condemn people that are gay. And I think it's really important that we speak out and say that the church is a place where everyone is welcome, everyone, and that we need to spread that message that Christianity is not exclusive, it's inclusive. And that's the message that I want to share.
So is the congregation you're part of open and accepting, welcoming to gays, lesbians?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. For the most part, I don't know what people's private views are, but I feel that our church does a really good job at welcoming whoever comes, that they are welcome, that we need that diversity in the body of Christ. And we're thankful when we have people that are different from us because they show us a different face of the humanity that God created. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So I'm very much interested in people who aren't Christians knowing that not all Christians, millions and millions of Christians who welcome gay and lesbian brothers and sisters and want them to be included in the life of the church. And that's what I wanted to share.
Now, you mentioned you were Presbyterian. Since I happen to be also, I know that officially the official rules of the church say that although all people are welcome, they currently, I think, in the Presbyterian denomination, someone who acknowledges that they're gay and actively gay in a gay relationship cannot be ordained. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. I think that there has been some movement to allow presbyteries and congregations to decide what they're going to do in this. And I think at this time there is some more flexibility coming in that. I realize that this is a difficult issue, and I think people in mainline Christianity need to just keep in dialogue with each other and keep talking about how they feel that we can best serve others and serve the needs of the world. And for me, that's including everybody at the table, that everybody is welcome and included at the church. And I think this is a powerful message. And I hope this is the message that people who aren't Christians who are listening to this telephone call will know that there are millions of Christians who welcome and support their gay and lesbian brothers and sisters in the church and want them to participate with us in the life of the church and in serving the world.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you for your comment.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is Keeping the Faith, a program that deals with religion, ethics, spirituality, values. And today our scheduled guest was to be Andrew Marin, M-A-R-I-N. He is to be making a personal appearance here in Champaign-Urbana at the Vineyard Church on February 19. He'll be speaking three times during that day. And that's a Friday, and it is open to the public. I have never met Mr. Marin and was looking forward to having a conversation with him. I've enjoyed reading his book, found several things I agreed with and some things I certainly wanted to ask him questions about, but that didn't happen because of weather-related travel problems he had. So we are instead talking about some of the themes in his book about Christianity in relation to gay and lesbian folks. We have another caller waiting on line number three. Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Line three.
Yes. I'm Methodist, and we're an inclusive church. And I'm grateful that they're going to have this conference, and I plan to go. Along with keeping the faith and accepting everyone and loving everyone, and this is a little away from the book, but Greg Mortensen is doing what Jesus would have done to stop terrorism, and that's getting to know the people in the Afghan and Pakistan mountains and building schools, particularly for the girls, so that when they grow up, they can raise their sons to go in a more positive direction.
I have friends who are reading the Greg Mortensen books, and I saw him interviewed recently on Bill Moyers and was very impressed with him.
Three Cups of Tea is his first book, and then Stones into Schools is his next latest book. And he said this is the way to fight terrorism, is to educate. and to accept and love people in other cultures.
And other religions.
And other religions, that's right, yeah.
Greg Mortensen, Three Cups of Tea, and Stones into Schools, two books of his. All right, well, thank you for calling. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let me give the phone numbers again. This program is a open line today because of our guest's travel problems, meaning he could not be available by phone. So we're talking about issues of, in this case, Christianity and gays and lesbians, bisexual, transgendered folks. So please give us a call. 333-9455 is the number in Champaign-Urbana. If you're listening online, 1-800-222-9455. And I might just mention that we're still at that time of year when the broadcast power for WILL is cut a great deal, about halfway through this program. So if you're curious about what friends and neighbors may be saying, if you can't hear it, if it disappears from your radio, do go to your computer and you can hear it live there at will.illinois.edu. Then you'll be given the choices of AM, FM, or TV. Click on AM and you'll be hearing this program on your computer. And of course, this program, as well as all of our others, are archived at that same location, 3dub.will.illinois.edu. So I'm eager to have people call in with comments or questions on this issue. I might say a little bit more about Marin's book. It's titled Love is an Orientation, and it's subtitled Elevating the Conversation with the Gay Community. As I mentioned, Marin identifies himself as a white, straight, evangelical Christian who grew up really being rather homophobic, being afraid and nasty to folks that he perceived as gay or lesbian. And he, in his college experience, met some people who challenged him on that as a response as a Christian. As a result, he started work in Chicago, living in Boys Town, and just trying to be a friend to people who were gay and lesbians. He and his wife moved there, and he ended up starting something called the Marin Foundation, using his last name, M-A-R-I-N. And he's since become a consultant to other Christian groups, mainly evangelical groups, on the importance of not condemning gays, but welcoming them. Like I say, there were several things in his book that I had strong questions about. I'm sorry I'm not able to ask him, but perhaps I'll have a chance if I can get to the presentations he'll be making at the Vineyard Church on February 19th in Urbana. The first one will be from 9 to 11. He'll be talking about love as an orientation, the content of his book. And then from 1:30 to 3:30, he'll be talking about sexual identity. And then it's from 7 to 9 in the evening, he'll be talking about building bridges between various parts of the Christian community, Christians who are gay and lesbians, and with those who are not. It's a free program open to the public at the Vineyard Church on North Lincoln, close to 74, Highway 74 in Urbana. We have another caller waiting on line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a local native, and I knew I was gay in 1944. And down through the last, say, 40 years, I've talked to a lot of gay people, and not only in my church, but lots of settings, and the vast majority of gay people knew when they were a small child and had to struggle the horror of being called names and being different. And there are stalkers of gay people, the few people that try to get us fired and try into our apartments and wreck our cars, and there's all kinds of weird things that aren't reported because we're already scared of this person coming back.
And, of course, there have been horrible examples of gay people who've been beaten, battered, even murdered because of their orientation.
Yeah, people they thought were gay.
Sure.
And got thrown off a bridge or whatever. I've had 4 gay friends murdered, and they caught all 4 of the murderers, but of course it's too late. And 3 of the 4 were gay Christians, evangelical fundamentalist Christians, who were faithful in church for decades.
3 of the 4 victims?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were fundamentalists. They weren't no modernist liberal. They were trying to do what they could to follow Jesus. And some thug comes up and murders them. So, plus the suicides. There have been a couple here in Urbana. And it's always being on our toes. And we're trying to do everything as a good citizen and participate in charities and education and whatever.
Have you found any conflict yourself personally between your Christian beliefs and practices and being gay?
No. We're supposed to follow Christ, and he never married a woman, and he hung around with a dozen men. if you follow Christ, you might not think it appropriate to marry a woman.
Well, that's actually a good lead-in to a song I'd prepared to play when our guest Andrew Marin was expected to be on the program.
Yeah.
So if you'll let me, I'll move right to that. And if you want to stay on the line, you can comment after you hear the song.
No, I'll hang up.
You'll hang up. Well, if you want to call back, please do. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. The song I'd prepared was written and is performed by a friend of mine. And he composed this song thinking, what if the most conservative, fundamentalist Christians took other parts of the Bible as literally as they take the parts that they interpret as somehow condemning gays and lesbians? For example, what if they took literally the parts where Jesus loved a man named John?
Jesus loved a man named John, who lived so many years on. He wrote the gospel and the revelation. Jesus loved a man named John. At the Last Supper, bread and wine were blessed, and Jesus held the beloved John to his breast. And on the cross he entrusted John with his mother. Jesus loved a man named John. Jesus loved a man named John, whose life went on and on. He was a witness to the resurrection. Jesus loved a man named John. The other disciples told a jealous lie that Jesus had promised that John would never die. And when the Lord heard it, he did not deny it. Jesus loved a man named John. Loved a man named John, who lived so many years on. Exiled for years on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus loved a man named John. So if you expect to enter heaven above, ask yourself the question, who's the man that you love? And if you're ashamed to say so in public, will Jesus be ashamed of you? Loved a man named John, who lived so many years on. He wrote the gospel and the revelation. Jesus loved a man named John. So if you have a problem with men loving men, you better go back and read your Bible again. To love one another is the greatest commandment. Remember the man named John. Now we're not saying that Jesus was gay, but what's the translation of agape? There's no homophobia in koinonia. Remember the man named John.
Jesus loved a man named John, who lived so many years on. There's no homophobia in Koinonia. Remember a man named John.
Jesus Loved a Man Named John, a song written and performed with overdubbing by a friend of mine. And I know it's hard to hear all the words the first time you hear a song, but who knows, I might play it again later in the program. We'll see, give you a second chance to hear it. It raised some interesting issues. Evangelical Christians tried to interpret the Bible literally. Andrew Marin, in his book Love is an Orientation, for example, says that he was trained in his seminary to see the Bible as inerrant, without mistake, as written by God through various people over a long period, but basically to be totally trustworthy in all parts. And yet it's interesting to me, as I'm not an evangelical Christian, but as a liberal Christian, a progressive Christian, as I read different parts of the Bible, it's fascinating to see which parts people do choose to take literally. And of course, there are reports throughout the Gospel of John that Jesus loved this man named John, one of his disciples, who is described as the one Jesus loved. What did that mean? And you notice the songwriter says he wasn't saying in the song that Jesus was gay, and yet there is this main commandment that we are to love one another. And in making this a country song and writing it as in the voice of one who might be a literalist, what did he do about the issue of homophobia, of fear and hatred of gays, if you really do believe in koinonia, the fellowship, the Greek word for fellowship? How can there be both? And yet we see that often within various expressions of Christianity. Well, we're about halfway through our program. Let me give phone numbers again, and maybe that last bit of fun music inspired someone to make a comment or two. Phone numbers, 333-9455, if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area. If it's long distance for you, do give us a call, 1-800-222-9455. And again, the website is will.illinois.edu if you're having trouble hearing or would like to hear this program or others before. I might mention, coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, if again weather doesn't get in the way, it shouldn't, because we have a local guest, a live guest in studio, February 14, Jason Febbery. He'll be talking with us about the whole issue of evolution. Jason is a student here at the University of Illinois in science. When he was home over the holidays, he picked up one of his younger sister's science books and was noticing that she goes to a private Christian school, and he was noticing what it said and didn't say about evolution. Jason is a columnist for the Daily Illini, and he wrote a column this last week that I thought was very intriguing. About the conversations that he then had with his younger sister and parents and so on, about what she was learning as opposed to what he was learning about science and particularly evolution. So that should be an interesting program, February 14, here on Keeping the Faith from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time, a.m. 580 WILL. On February 21, our guest will be Kathleen Dean Moore, who is a professor at Oregon State University. We're going to be talking about leaving a livable world. Leaving a livable world. She's the author of The Pine Island Paradox and several other books dealing with ecology from a religious and ethical perspective. Talking with her by phone. On February 28th, our guest will be Mark Johnson, who is the executive director of the Fellowship of Reconciliation for the United States. That's an international organization. Mark is the director for the U.S. branch of that. He's a great reader, and we've had him on the program twice before over the last 11 years talking about books worth reading. And so looking forward to that, February 28th. Coming up in March, I'll just mention a couple programs. On the 7th of March, James Wolfe will be our guest. James is a professor in Indianapolis of religion, and he himself practices seven different religions. We'll talk with him about how he does that. And later in March, on the 21st, we'll be talking with three folks from the new health center started here in Champaign-Urbana, sponsored by the local Muslim community, the Avicenna Health Center. We'll be talking with the medical director, Dr. Shamim Sadia. We'll be talking with a student in his final year of med school here at the university who's the operating manager of the health center, Syed Hashmi. And we'll be talking with Irfan Ahmad, who is chairman of the board. Professor Ahmad is a leader in the local Muslim community. So we're delighted to have those people coming up on Keeping the Faith here in the time ahead. I see we have another call waiting. Let's go to line number one. Welcome to Keeping the Faith.
Yeah, hello there.
Hi.
I'd like to comment a little bit about the idea of accepting the biblical writ as the word of God.
Sure.
As far as I could see, all communication, all writing is a wonderful gift and should be entertained by everyone so that you don't have to go to the trouble of experiencing different bits of life as they occur everywhere. And that includes various forms of marriage, cohabiting, or whatever. All of the ordinary literature that I had read, be it Irish, English, French, Russian, Islamic, of various sorts, have indicated all kinds of styles of life, including whatever it is that we call gay, polyandry, multiple wives, and simply open living. And I don't see that if one accepts scriptures as the word of God, and that includes the stories about Lot and what have you, that anybody should have any complaint about how anybody lives their sexual life.
Should there be no limits?
Do you have any limits on how you think? You have limits that you set yourself.
What about sex with children, for example?
Again, from what I've read, that's been a thing that's happened ever since. And might be desirable, but rather than teach, I know adults who, having found out that some uncle or somebody or another had dealt with them 30 or 40 years ago, divorced their husband because obviously all men are terrible. It's an application that you can make, but isn't it better to teach people, young and old, what abuses are and allow them to choose their own, and if they survive, be happy that they survived?
Well, appreciate your comment. Thanks for calling. We're talking on Keeping the Faith today about issues of particularly Christianity and relations with gays and lesbians because of the book written by Andrew Marin, M-A-R-I-N, called Love is an Orientation. Andrew Marin was not able to be with us at the last minute on this program, so we are having an open line, and people with all kinds of different opinions are welcome to call in and express their thoughts live on the radio. Do ask that you be careful with your language because, of course, there are some words we can't use on the radio, and so we do need to be a little circumspect. But listeners to WILL understand that, I know. So feel free to call, and I might read a little bit from Andrew Marin's book since he was not able to be on the program because of getting caught in Washington, D.C., and unable to arrange appropriate phone calls at the right time. Let me read a little bit about something he writes here that he calls laying the foundation of his work with gays and lesbians. And again, remember, he is an evangelical Christian. He says, first of all, he heard from the people he was trying to listen to them tell him, please don't lie to me. And second, please don't leave me. Please don't lie to me and please don't leave me. In talking with these gay and lesbian folks in Chicago, some of whom were Christian, some of whom were not, some of whom were other faiths, some of whom were agnostic, apparently the main thing that they had seen in the past was people not being willing to be honest with them. And if they couldn't get a quick conversion or a change, which it seems like many Christians is what they were after, they would be gone. They'd disappear. So one of the things that Marin counsels is commitment and honesty, boldness. He talks about one of the things that he does during the gay pride parade in Chicago each year is set up a booth opposite one of the very conservative Christian churches that puts up signs saying God hates gays and homosexuality is a sin and things like that. And Marin puts up signs saying God is love and God loves us all and things like that. Interesting street theater in Chicago all around the gay pride parade. One of the questions that I wanted to ask Andrew Marin, though, was whether he at base is being honest in what his final goal is. He says his goal is not evangelism, and yet he describes himself as an evangelical, and he seems motivated by believing that Christianity is somehow unique and exclusive and that people do need to have a relationship with Jesus to be able to have a relationship with the divine. And so I wonder, and wish I could have asked him, whether he is being honest with the gay and lesbian folks he works with, if that's ultimately his goal, that through these open, welcoming, accepting relationships that he establishes with them, that he's hoping they will eventually convert to Christianity. I'd be curious as to what his answer is, because I suspect from the way he worded several things in this book that although he doesn't think people should ask the question, is homosexuality a sin or outside of the will of God, it seems to me that he believes it himself. Now, whether that's true or not, I can't tell because he's not here to answer it. But as I say, he's coming to Champaign-Urbana February 19th, to the campus community here. We'll be speaking at the Vineyard Church. Gays and lesbians that I know, both Christian and not, would find that, I think, sort of proto-evangelism or pre-evangelism and perhaps also manipulative and dishonest. But as I say, I don't know. And other Christians I know who've welcomed gays and lesbians have read this book and found it more positive than I did. But at any rate, let's get back to the phone lines. Let me give the phone numbers. We are eager to have people call 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana and 1-800-222-9455 if it's long distance. That's a toll-free number. Might just say that Keeping the Faith is a live program, and if you've missed part of this and want to go back to it, you can go online to will.illinois.edu and listen there live as you travel, or you can go there for archived programs. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for Keeping the Faith. I was director of the University Y for the last 9 years, and the Y has very graciously supported Keeping the Faith. Let me mention two programs that are coming up at the Y this week. February 9 at noon on Tuesday, the Know Your University Lecture will be given by Mike Lindemann. And he's talking about the Illinois Marathon that's happened here in Champaign last year, Champaign-Urbana. It's happening again. So flat, fast, and first class. They're hoping for... I guess they had 9,000 people took part in the inaugural marathon last April, and they're looking forward to a huge number again this year. So that's the Know Your University lecture at the University Y at noon on Tuesdays. These are free. You can order food in advance if you'd like from the Y Eatery, good Thai food, or you can bring your lunch, or you can simply come and listen to the lecture and join the conversation. Know Your University is a series that talks about the various things happening on campus and in the community that people might find interesting. Let me give you just a little bit of some of the other programs coming up. Interfaith in Action will be a later program. A New Mascot for a New Millennium. Students from Intersections Living Learning Community will be talking about that later on. Wynton Solberg, a professor of history, will be talking about the President's Trustees and Governance at the U of I. So there'll be, and the final program in Know Your University this semester will be the 5th Annual Edible Books Festival, which is quite fun, with a lot of good food with a literary theme. So that's at the University Y, the corner of Chalmers and Wright Street on campus, noon Tuesday. And then this Friday is the second Friday Forum of the semester. The theme for Friday Forum this semester is social entrepreneurship as a force for change. And on February 12th, this coming Friday, Wes Jarrell will be speaking about urban farming and local food systems. He's professor in the Department of Natural Resources, Environmental Sciences, and he's the director of the Environmental Change Institute at the university. So he'll be talking about the potential of organic, sustainable agriculture in urban environments, recognizing the importance of the connections between food production and consumption. As an example, he'll be talking about the Prairie Fruit Farms. That's this Friday at noon, a free lecture at the University YMCA. Later on Friday Forums coming up at the Y this current semester, Business as a Solution to Poverty in Africa, Empowering Entrepreneurs in Africa. Later, Business and Social Responsibility, Finding the Bottom Line, John Clark, dean, one of the deans in the College of Business. Collaborations for Change, Building Effective Partnerships for Social Entrepreneurship. Several different topics coming up in April. So, Friday Forums, University Y. Thank you again to the Y for their support over the years for keeping the faith. Love is an orientation. Our guest last week on Keeping the Faith was a former Catholic priest who had written a fascinating book on how Buddha was necessary for him to be a Christian. And in that book, Paul Nitter, K-N-I-T-T-E-R, pointed out that the one description of God in the whole New Testament, the Christian writings, the Christian New Testament, says simply, God is love. So love seems to be so central to Christianity. Marin has chosen that for part of the title of his book. And another place I objected to his thinking in this book was where he said, we are to love, God is to judge. Well, I certainly think we Christians are told not to judge. That's certainly the real message of Romans chapter 1. But to see God primarily as judge, when the Scripture clearly says in defining God, God is love, doesn't seem right. Again, that's a question we won't have an answer to from the author, but that came to me as I was reading his book in preparation for this interview. For listeners who tuned in late, I might explain that our guest was detained in Washington, D.C. by the storms there, was not able to be on a phone, and was having to fly during this hour when he had agreed to be interviewed for an hour on Keeping the Faith from his office in Chicago. Again, he'll be speaking on campus February 19th, a Friday, three times. from 9:30 to 11, from 1:30 to 3:30, and from 7 to 9 at the Vineyard Church on North Lincoln Avenue near Interstate Highway 74. I was given an announcement to make about a spiritual buffet. I know absolutely nothing about this organization, but let me tell you about it since they were interested in me sharing this information. A spiritual buffet has been prepared for you. You're invited to sample the menu, create a well-balanced integrative practice that nourishes your spirit and delights your soul. Discover your own recipe for a daily practice that keeps you coming back for more. By talking about a daily practice, I'm guessing it's maybe influenced by Zen Buddhism. I don't know for sure. It's Friday, February 26th at Beads and Botanicals. If you'd like information, you may call 217-377-5271, or you may email meditationarts, that's all put together as one word, at gmail.com. Again, meditationarts@gmail.com, or you may call 377-5271 in area code 217. As you know, in Keeping the Faith, we can't ordinarily make very many announcements about various religious activities and ceremonies and so forth in the community because there are so many of them. But when I get desperate and I'm the only one in the studio and I don't have a live guest, I will read some. If you want to take a chance, you can send them on. We do have another caller now on line number one. Let me see if that's ready. Not quite. We'll be getting to that in a moment. Here we are. Yes, line number one, you're live on the air on Keeping the Faith with me, Steve Shoemaker.
I wanted to ask the question whether our society is opening up to be a welcoming society, if there are signs of changes occurring that suggest there'll be a new era when people won't have to hide their real identity and can be honest and open about their lives.
Well, sometimes I think there's progress being made in that regard, and other times it seems like there's more repression than ever, and people are getting more organized to stay in their own little groups and look down on everybody else or look with hatred on everyone else. It seems to happen across religious lines. Certainly some of the most vitriolic words that I've heard were spoken by religious people of various sorts.
It's very strange for a religion that stands for love and compassion and all of this should be used as a weapon against people who have a different orientation psychologically.
Of course, some of the arguments that conservatives would hold forth would be that sexual orientation is a misnomer, that people choose how they respond sexually, and that they're responsible for their sexual choices.
Andrew Marin, as I understand it, makes it very clear that people do not have the freedom to choose, but are actually farmed in the process of the genes from passing from generation to generation, and that the orientation is not just something that you can choose.
Well, he certainly mentions that as one of the arguments by the sort of the people he describes as pro-gay Christians. Then in the next section, he puts forth the argument from the conservative side, saying that, no, there are people who make choices and make decisions. So he gives both sides and doesn't really specifically give his own position as I read the book. But again, we don't have him here to ask. Since you were kind enough to call back, let me go back to a point you raised earlier when you called. You said as a pastor, when you talked to couples, you'd run into some who ended up having difficulty because one of the pair was actually gay or bisexual, and the other person did not know that at the time they made a commitment and married one another. Have you had counseling sessions with people like that where people chose to stay together, where they chose to separate, where they tried to change?
I had the experience one time of a couple who faced up to this and worked it through to go on being partners. I've had the feeling, though, that a good many times the evidence is strongly in favor of the failure of marriage, where they have not carefully approached their different orientations ahead of time. It's a very strange world we live in that labels people and treats them as our society does, quite apart from any real measure of what kind of people they are.
What did you think of my friend Song, who talked about all the parts in the Gospel of John that talk about Jesus having this special relationship with this other man? And as one of our callers pointed out, Jesus never married. He did not have a traditional family life that he established. What did you think of the rather humorous song that that talked about the various
it helps to
parts of the relationship?
Understand part of the attitude of the author of the Gospel of John, that he was trying to assure people that there was a special affection between Jesus and this one of the disciples.
Mm-hmm. Who is described at the Last Supper as reclining with his head on the breast of Jesus, on the chest of Jesus. And as the song indicated, from the cross, Jesus said to this disciple, "You take care of my mother, and mother, now you consider this your son." Seemed to be a very special relationship.
Yes, and we who try to go back and read the ancient writings find it very difficult to understand some of the meanings in different parts of the Bible. But it seems to me that the greatest problem that people confront has to do with the reality of their stuttering here with you.
That's all right.
But we're trying to think about life in terms of the ancient Levitical numbers that this is an abomination.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to me that we are dealing with a reality that the Hebrew word there actually means unclean, and the word abomination is a much more grim and kind of a loaded word emotionally for understanding the problem that exists here.
Well, thank you for your comments. I appreciate the call very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Let me call our listeners' attention while we're dealing to the subject to a very interesting article. A very interesting article in this week's current New Yorker. This is the New Yorker with all of the bundled up dogs on the cover for February 8. There's an article called Revelations. The subtitle is A Gospel Singer Comes Out. It's an article by Khalifah Saneh. And the author writes that Anthony Charles Williams II, who is known professionally in the gospel singing world as Tone. In fact, his first album said it's pronounced Tone, TOE/NAY. Tone, African-American gospel singer from San Diego, California, been around about 10 years professionally, putting out several dozens of CDs, has a website that you can find by going to T-O-N and then 3. T-O-N 3-A, Tone, it's pronounced. But he came out as gay recently and, of course, was dropped by many of the people who'd supported him for years. He is himself a Pentecostal pastor. And within the Pentecostal world of gospel music, he was really quite a star. But it's an interesting article, and I recommend people to look at it. Again, it's called Revelations. It's in the current issue of The New Yorker from February 8th. We have another caller on line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Hello there.
Yes.
Yes. I had a – it's me again.
Sure.
From Urbana. And when I went to my Urbana High School reunion 2 years ago, I had a new discrimination. They censored severely my little biography that I'd been invited to write and cut it down to nothing, practically.
So you'd said something about your sexual orientation that someone objected to?
Yes, one of the 10 on the committee, or maybe the whole committee, I don't know. It's just strange. They would invite us to fill out this questionnaire. Are you married and how many children? And
sure.
And I had to say, no, I'm not allowed to get married. And I'm gay and don't have children. And a lot of other things, and I didn't get into any bad details. But the people I'd been with for 62 years, I'd known them, and they cut my little biography down a huge amount. And they had asked us to add a page or two extra. I only added one page. But and I donated $20 extra so they'd have money to print these this booklet that everybody could have a page in. But I, in all my reading in interviews of gay people in magazines, I never heard of this discrimination at their 50th reunion.
Well, that's unfortunately another sad example of the kind of discrimination that does exist, unfortunately, for many gays and lesbians.
Yeah, I thought I'd been nice and kind all during my high school years. I tried to be a good person all those 12 years with those folks.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling. Sorry to have to cut you off, but we are at the end of our time. My name is Steve Shoemaker, and I'm the usual host for Keeping the Faith. Next week, we'll be talking here on this program again live with a college student, Jason Febbery, who is a columnist for the Daily Illini and wrote a very interesting column last week about his sister's education or miseducation about evolution in a religious school that she attends. Kathleen Dean Moore will be our guest on February 21st, a professor at Oregon State University. Her book, The Pine Island Paradox. Mark Johnson will be our guest coming up on February 28, books worth reading. Again, our guest was scheduled to be Andrew Marin. He was not able to be with us, but we'll be speaking February 19 at the Vineyard. Thanks for listening to Keeping the
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.